When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
49ers training camp starts tomorrow. I'm going to be there. Brandon Ayuk, not expected to be there. We'll talk about that and more next on Conan Hensley. What's up? Welcome to Conan Hensley. That's Ryan G. Hensley. I'm Grant L. Cohn. Training camp starts tomorrow. And let's dive right in. Brandon Ayuk is not expected, not supposed to be there. Is this surprising to you? Does this change anything? What do you think?
Not surprising at all. No, not to me. I've been feeling this was going to be the case. I don't even know if he's going to be there for week one. We'll see, but it's not surprising. No, Brandon Ayuk to me seems like, I think we talked about it last week. He seems like the kind of guy to hold out. Like, that's what I said last week, and that seems like what he's going to be doing. He's already accrued some fines because of holding out in minicamp. And he's going to be accruing $50,000 a day moving forward. He seems like that guy, man. He seems hard-headed enough to not care about the fines. He's probably confident the Niners will forget about it at some point if they give him an extension, or maybe they trade him. I doubt that. I think they ultimately give him an extension, but it's going to take some time. Maybe they need to see Ricky Pearsall in action in a preseason game before they kind of get a little antsy and sign BA, but it's not surprising, man. I kind of figured this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, he wants to be treated like an elite wide receiver, and so he's acting like an elite wide receiver, and Amari Cooper's holding out, CeeDee Lamb's holding out. So if that's how they're going to do business, then Brandon Ayuk's going to do the same exact thing, and there's really nothing wrong with that, considering Nick Bosa held out last year. My question is, if Brandon hadn't done all the other stuff this offseason, the TikTok post, the Instagram captions, the pivot, the trade request, if he had just went totally silent but held out of everything like Nick Bosa did last year, would he be in a different position?
I think that's a better position to be in, yeah, but I don't think he would be in the same position right now, just with different leverage, I think. Right. If he shows he's the company guy, he's not going to go out there and talk and this and that. The Niners may have had a more favorable opinion of Brandon Ayuk, but I think he would be in the same situation because really all that aside is about money. And it's probably more about guaranteed money than we think. But there's multiple questions here, right? Like, what should the 49ers have done? What are they doing and what will they do? Right. Those are the three different questions that we need to ask. What they should have done is extend him either before last season. He was available for extension or early in this season. That's what they should have done. They would have saved a lot of money. Patriots, this report came out yesterday. I believe, Mike Florio said that the Patriots offered pick 34 before the draft for Brandon Ayuk, and the 49ers turned it down. So the 49ers have these high expectations for what they want for a player, which is weird because it counteracts what they're willing to pay the player. They want a first-round draft pick for Brandon Ayuk, yet they're not willing to pay him what he wants. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. It's either trade him for something, what team is going to trade a first-round draft pick and then pay a guy $30 million a year? Not many teams are going to do that. That's an unrealistic ask. They should have just wiped that from their idea bank. Like, that was never going to happen, so you shouldn't even put it out there in the hemisphere. You either take what's reasonable, 34 is probably a reasonable get for Brandon Ayuk, or you pay him what you could have paid him before last season, or at least beginning of this offseason.
Okay, let's look forward. So last year, Bosa held out, came back right before the season started, had a down year. It didn't just affect him, it affected the pass rush as a whole. And the run defense as a whole, both suffered. So now let's say Ayuk misses all of training camp and maybe even a week or two of the season, comes back. If he's not the Ayuk of last year, if he's, a percentage of that because he didn't go to training camp, Does that hurt Brock Purdy? Does that hurt Christian McCaffrey? Like, what kind of domino effect does that have on the offense?
Hurts the whole team. I mean, yeah. Brandon Ayuk is an ultimate professional, and he's out there grinding, working hard, and you know he's going to come in shape, but there's a difference between being in shape and being in football shape and being up to speed of the game. He's taking a lot of time off from football, and if he doesn't get back here soon, he's going to have the same ramp-up period that you saw with Nick Bosa. It's going to take him a while to get into the flow of things. Now, the Niners are a really good team. They might still pull off W's in the meantime, but they're not going to be quite the same team clicking on all cylinders like they would be had Brandon Ayuk been here right now. And that's why this is a mistake on the 49ers' part. They should have signed him a long time ago. If they're going to sign him, so like, let's say what's going to happen here, Grant. Like, let's say he holds out and they finally do give him an extension and he gets $28.5 million per season. He missed all of training camp, and all you had to do was pay him 28. If you're going to pay him at some point, just do it already. Like, this is costing and it's hurting the team if he's going to be missing out on training camp. He's been the team leader in training camp, the best player on the field in training camp. At least last year he was. And so they're missing that leadership. I think this is a mistake. If they're ultimately going to pay Brandon Ayuk, if he's not going to get on fifth-year option, if he's not going to be traded, if they ultimately pay him, then we're just delaying what's supposed to happen anyways, and it's hurting the team.
It's hurting the team, exactly. Like, you could have traded him. You want him here because you want to take another shot at the Super Bowl, and you feel like you need him on your team to have the best shot. Well, like, okay, then don't you want him at his best? And if you could pay a price to have him play at his best, wouldn't you pay it? I mean, it's the NFL. Like, if it costs $2 million to get him to be in camp the entire time and ensure that he's the full Brandon Ayuk, like, isn't that money well spent? If you have such short-term goals anyway?
Absolutely, it is. It's delaying the inevitable. If they are going to ultimately pay him, which I think that's what's going to happen, I think they'll reach an extension at some point. It could have happened in March. Mm-hmm. Like, the 49ers are a great organization. They do a lot of things right. This is not one of the things they do right. They're behind the times on this. You need to jump out on it early, and you save yourself a lot of money. I mean, if you would have paid Brandon Ayuk before last season, which was entirely possible, I mean, maybe Brandon Ayuk said, no, I don't want to do it. But at that time, they probably could have got him for like $23 million a year. And if they waited until after this season in March, they probably could have got him for $24, $25 million if they jumped on it early. Now they're ultimately going to be paying him more. He's going to be missing training camp. It's just bad tactic. It's bad negotiation. It's bad way to do business. They should have handled it already. Not to mention the chip that might be on his shoulder, the funky chemistry that might be occurring as a result. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And so the only way to me that this makes sense on the 49ers part, if they ultimately fifth-year option him or trade him, they say they don't have any plans on trading him. They're not going to get what they want for him. So it's either fifth-year option or extend. If they stick with that fifth-year option, stick with their guns, then what they've done makes sense. But if they pay him, it was an absolute waste of time.
I feel like it would be, like you said, if they're going to eventually offer $28 million a year, because it sounds like they've offered 25 or 26, and they haven't upped their offer since May. So if they're eventually going to cave and offer $28 million, like they caved and gave Nick Bosa whatever he wanted 4 days before the season started, then just give it to him now so he can be at every day of training camp, because it doesn't help you if he's not there. So the Niners are giving off some really weird mixed messages when it comes to Ayuk's worth. He's not even as good as Jaylen Waddle in terms of what they're offering. But when it comes to teams calling the Niners and trying to trade for Brandon Ayuk, he is Jerry Rice, because they will just not take anything less than a first round pick. Apparently the Patriots offered the 34th pick. That's almost a first round pick for Ayuk this year, and the 49ers said no. What do you think of that?
I mean, it depends on what they do here, right? Like, if they end up paying him, fine, right? Then I understand rejecting that the 34th pick. But if they end up doing the fifth-year option and they only get 10, 11 games out of Brandon Ayuk, they probably should have just taken that draft pick, built up the offensive line, and moved forward. I've been saying it all offseason. The 49ers are a little wishy-washy on this Brandon Ayuk stuff to me. They're very indecisive. They lack commitment in that regard. Like, figure out what you want from Brandon Ayuk, who you think Brandon Ayuk is. If he is a franchise type player, the kind of guy you want for a long time, then get it done a long time ago. That's ultimately, we'll look back on this and it'll all be based on what they do. Do they extend him and give him the big contract that he wants? Do they fifth year option him? They're not going to trade him. So ultimately, all of these things that we're talking about, we've talked about all offseason, are going to be hindering on what actually happens in the end. But if they're only fifth year option in Brandon Ayuk and they're only going to get half a season from Brandon Ayuk, I think I would have taken the 34th pick and built up this team and moved forward. Like, make a decision. Are you in or out? Like, which one is it? It's not very clear to me how they see Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I mean, they could have taken the 34th pick for Ayuk and had the 31st pick and packaged them together, traded up, gotten to about 15, 14, 13, taken Brock Bowers, Talisi Fuaga, Amarius Mims, Troy Fatanu. Like, they could have made a real big move up for a blue chip player at a different position. That would have been cool with me. I mean, are they going to get better than that next year if they try to trade? I doubt it. At 31 and 34 would have been a nice little package to get like your right tackle or your left tackle of the future.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm all on board with Brandon. Like, I've been saying don't trade him, but the problem is they didn't sign him, didn't take care of this early enough, and now it's costing them more money. It makes no sense at all to me. So it's what I'm saying is, if you're not all in on Brandon Ayuk, which I'm not sure if you are, it doesn't feel like you are, then go ahead and trade him for the 34th pick and use that to make this team better this year. And now we're in a stalemate. If he holds out from training camp, if he holds out throughout the season, he's not helping the team. So you missed an opportunity to help out the team this year because of these tactics. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. This is one thing the 49ers really need to change. And I know they got their press conference tomorrow. I know you're going to be in there and you're going to be able to ask some questions. I would love to understand their thinking behind the way they've handled Brandon Ayuk.
And it's like, they can't trade him for a draft pick because they can't take the smallest step back, right? That's kind of been their attitude. We can't afford to take any step back. Okay, then how can you afford to have Brandon Ayuk miss all of training camp?
Correct.
Especially if it's just something that you could pay for him to be there. Like, isn't that worth your time and money? I don't understand that one. So you're real close to having your best possible team, but he needs to be on the practice field, because we just saw last year, if he misses it, it could affect his entire season and affect the team all year, as it did with the defense last year.
I think they underestimated Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk has probably gone too much on social media, done too much of that stuff. But from a stand on business, as the kids say, from that standpoint, Brandon Ayuk is absolutely doing that. He has not caved to the 49ers. The 49ers had a price point in mind, and they told Brandon Ayuk, this is what we think you're worth. This is what we're going to pay you. Take it or leave it. And Brandon Ayuk is leaving it. He's like, okay, fine. I will sit out. I'll take my fines. I will hold out of training camp. And they underestimated Brandon Ayuk in his willingness to do that, I think.
Also, I feel like Ayuk has left himself no choice. I mean, after all he's said, the position he's taken as kind of a victim, he can't show up at training camp. He has to stay away, say, this is, I'm being wronged.
And what's interesting is he could show up and hold in and just not participate, but I don't think he's going to do that. Like, I think he'd rather take the fine. Brandon Ayuk, one thing I'm learning about Brandon Ayuk this offseason, he's very hard-headed. And, you know, maybe that's for the betterment of Brandon Ayuk, but he's not going to fold. He would rather take the fines than even show up in this building and do a hold-in. He would rather take the fines and hold out than take a contract that's less than what he believes he's worth. And you got to give him some credit for that, honestly. These teams are multi-billion-dollar organizations using every bit of leverage they have to get these guys to accept contracts less than their value. And Brandon Ayuk is yet to fold to that yet.
Also, you got to remember what kind of relationship he has with the head coach. Some people on the team are friends with Kyle Shanahan. Joe Staley was friends with them. They'd be the kind of guys who would have beers together in the offseason and hang out in San Diego and throw balls into pizza ovens. Some people have that kind of relationship with Kyle. They think he's a swell guy. He's a real cool, he's one of the dudes. Other people really don't feel that way. Jimmy Ward, Trey Lance, And I'm thinking, well, Jimmy Garoppolo. And now I'm thinking Brandon Ayuk. And I think what those people have in common is I wonder how highly Kyle thinks of them. Like, is Kyle head over heels with Brandon the way he is with Trent Williams or Christian McCaffrey? Or is Kyle the guy who keeps it real about Brandon Ayuk like he did with Jimmy? Like, hey, you're just kind of a product of all the great things I'm doing. So, sorry. And is that sort of why that relationship's never taken off? I don't know.
I was told that 49ers and Brandon Ayuk meeting was explosive. And the explosiveness comes from Brandon Ayuk telling the truth about how he feels as part of the 49ers organization. You're not wrong for feeling that way. Brandon Ayuk and Kyle Shanahan do not have a Deebo Samuel Kyle Shanahan relationship. That is 100% what I have heard. So it's a different relationship. I think Kyle likes what Brandon Ayuk does on the field, but off the field, they don't have that relationship. Ayuk doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He's really just about his business, about his family, very quiet dude, hard-headed guy, wants what he's worth, and he's willing to do what it takes to get it.
Also, I mean, you ever notice Deebo was a second-round pick, and I feel like Kyle's been kind of boosting him for years. Like, man, this guy is way better than people realize. He's a game changer. Like, when he gets the ball in his hands, no one can stop him. I mean, Kyle's really been singing his praises about why he's special and one of one for a long time. Ayuk's a first round pick. And I think Ayuk, as we see now, has this whole ego that he doesn't necessarily hasn't vocalized much before now. And maybe Kyle's been kind of trying, it seems to me he's been trying to like sort of take him down a peg for years.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't prop up Ayuk the way he props up Deebo.
It does seem like that. And it's strange to me. When I look at Brandon Ayuk, he seems like everything I would want. I don't know what the relationship is with Kyle and Brandon off the field, but from what I've heard, it's not the greatest. But when I look at Brandon Ayuk, he's the DeForest Buckner of wide receivers. He does everything you want him to do. Now, that's before this offseason he got a little too verbal for my liking. I would recommend him not go that route if I was his agent, and maybe that's what his agent told him. But as far as what he does on the field, he does everything you could ask of him. But in the offseason, shows up, phenomenal shape, MVP of training camp, looks like the best player on the field, blocks his ass off, which is not common for wide receivers, is the best route runner on this team. He literally does everything you could want from a wide receiver on the field and within this organization. It makes no sense to me why the 49ers haven't gone all in and committed to Brandon Ayuk earlier, saved themselves some money, and locked in a player for the foreseeable future that is really the kind of player you want.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like they're doing right by him. It seems like they're trying to take advantage of the situation because they have all the leverage, and it's just strange that they chose him to do this to, considering all he's done for them. Corey Soto says, what's more interesting than BA is the prospect that Dak will be out with injury by week 7 and the Niners will be playing trade. Not at all impossible. Well, it's not likely, though, because the other backup, Cooper Rush, is 5-1 as a starter with Dallas, so I would imagine he would get the first shot off the bench since they've proven they can win with him.
I've heard from Cowboys that Trey's leading that competition at this point.
Good for Trey. That would be great. VO says, should have traded him on draft night.
They should have. He should have been signed, or they should have traded him. Like, that's how I feel. Like, commit to going with BA or commit to moving on from BA. Make a commitment, make a decision, be decisive.
It seems like they were kind of afraid of the media backlash of trading him. Pick 34 is a pretty good pick. It's almost a first rounder. It's almost what they had.
Should have done it. If they're going to end up signing him for $28.5 million, I'm okay with that. I like Brandon Ayuk, but if the fifth year option in him, they absolutely should have took in the trade, like similar to when Jimmy Garoppolo, the Patriots offered the 49ers draft picks for Jimmy Garoppolo, and they didn't, and they ended up moving on from him. Hopefully that's not what happens with Brandon Ayuk.
Okay. So Ayuk's not going to be at camp. He's one of the most important Niners, and him not being there isn't good, but he's not the most important player on the team. Let's rank the most important players in the team, the guys they absolutely can't afford to miss.
Yeah, so for me, where'd Grant go? He disappeared on us. So for me, the most important 49er on this team that can't miss And a lot of people won't like this, but it's Trent Williams. Trent Williams to me is, I think a lot of 49er fans take for granted the fact that they have had Joe Staley and Trent Williams since 2007. It is not common for organizations to have those quality of left tackles for 17 years. That's how long they've had either Joe Staley or Trent Williams. To me, Trent Williams makes this team. He's my number one player that can't afford to miss this season. The reality is he probably will miss some games. He always has. But Trent Williams, to me, is the anchor on this team. If you took Trent Williams off this team, I don't see this offense being as successful. So that's the number one most important player for the 49ers that you don't want to be unhealthy this year. After that is when I have Brock Purdy. So I'm going to give you my first two. I want to hear your response. Trent Williams, Brock Purdy, he's the quarterback of this team. He has risen to a really good level. He's a top, depending on how you look at it, 12, 10 quarterback in the NFL. He is crucial for the success of the 49ers. So number one to me is Trent. Number two is Brock Purdy. Some people might flip that. I just see Trent Williams as a Hall of Fame caliber player that makes a huge difference for this team.
Love that. I think that's fair, especially without a quality backup on the roster. Yeah, those two. Trent, Brock. Three, for me, it's not McCaffrey.
No. I don't have it. I have McCaffrey fourth, actually.
Okay, hold on. I think it's Fred Warner.
That's who I have.
Yeah. It's got to be someone on the defense, and I think Warner's a better player than Bosa, and I think he's playing a more critical position right now because Greenlaw's out.
Yeah. Fred Warner is the quarterback of the defense. If you take Fred Warner off this team, especially with Greenlaw out, who knows how long it's going to take for Greenlaw to get back on the field. I imagine he's going to not start the season playing, that's for sure. It could be week five, week seven, week eight. Like, who knows how long it's going to take for Greenlaw to come back on the field. Even if Greenlaw was there, the 49ers cannot afford to lose Fred Warner. Fred Warner, to me, is the third most important player on this team. Like I said, the quarterback of the defense, one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacker in the NFL. So I got Trent, Brock Purdy, then Fred, and then after that is I have Christian McCaffrey.
I'll talk about Fred for a second. Mm-hmm. Fred's really important. Fred's a great player. He's especially great in coverage. One of the best linebackers in coverage I've ever seen. The Niners' coverage last year was good, especially with a weak run defense and a weak pass rush. But part of the reason the run defense was weak last year was him. Even though everyone blamed Chase Young, it was more than just Chase Young and Hufanga being out. It was the fact that for the first time in Warner's career, he missed a lot of tackles. According to Sis Data Hub, it was 37, which was like 22%. And he'd never been a player like that. So that needs to be an aberration. He needs to get back to being someone who can wrap up and bring the guy down, especially with Greenlaw.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I think a lot of that might have something to do with the defensive line, also missing Huff to help him. I still believe Fred is the best linebacker. And if I could pick one linebacker to run my team on a, you know, fantasy franchise, it's going to be Fred Warner still, despite missing a lot of tackles last year. I don't know what was going on, but a lot of these dudes missed tackles last year. It wasn't just Fred. It was this whole defense. They were not playing at their level we're used to seeing.
And what we're doing right now, like most important, I think like the question we should ask for every player is how bad would it be if this person like got a season ending injury? And if Warner went down for the year with Greenlaw already out, I mean, the middle of their defense would just be awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be a different team. You wouldn't be unrecognizable from a defensive standpoint without Fred Warner.
Yeah.
He's extremely important. Four, I have Christian McCaffrey, offensive player of the year. He really changed the 49ers offense. His ability to be so versatile, a great runner, great in the passing game. He does it all for the 49ers. They rely on him heavily. Hopefully that them relying on Christian goes down a little bit this year. I would like to see that. But as of right now, he is, outside of Trent Williams and Brock Purdy, the most important player on the offense. He scores all the touchdowns. He is crucial for the success. Now, I will say I think Elijah Mitchell's a good running back.
Yeah.
And I think Jordan Mason's a good running back, and they would have some level of success. If Christian went down, they would still have good running backs in those guys. and they would still have success running the ball. It's just Christian adds a whole different element in the passing game as well. That's what really sets Christian apart to me.
Yeah, I guess the way I feel about the Niners' offensive weapons is they're all great, but the fact that there's so many of them kind of takes the importance away. Because like if McCaffrey goes down for the year, then you could argue like, well, you still have Mitchell, Mason, Debo, plus all these other weapons in the passing game. Like, what if Bosa goes down? You know, like they've made a Super Bowl without McCaffrey. They haven't gone anywhere without Bosa ever. Yeah. So I would have to put Bosa right after Fred Warner. If Bosa goes down, they're in a whole lot of trouble. And they really need him to not just not go down, but like be better than last year, which he was actually pretty good last year. Just pretty good isn't nearly good enough.
I have Nick Bosa after Christian McCaffrey. He's okay. The next guy on my list.
Okay.
So okay. We're not far off.
Yeah.
Pass rush is the third most important position on a football team, in my opinion. Quarterback, blindside tackle, and then pass rush. And Nick Bosa has been in the past the best in the NFL. He needs to get back to that level, and he needs to stay healthy. Without him, they're going to have a hard time putting pressure on the quarterback. He is an elite player. He's a Hall of Fame caliber player. He's headed in that direction, especially if the 49ers pull off a Super Bowl win at some point. They need Nick Bosa to stay healthy. That's another key for this team.
Okay. Okay. Six. I'm on five.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm not going to go McCaffrey.
All right.
I'm not. I'm going to go with an... I'm going to go with a player, an all-pro player at a very thin position. Kittle. I mean, Logan Thomas. Whatever. What's his name? Logan Thomas? Logan Ryan? Yeah. Logan Thomas. Maybe. Yeah. He's kind of old, but he's okay. I mean, I just feel like if Kittle goes down, so much of their run game is Trent Williams and George Kittle on the left at the point of attack. And he's not essential to their passing game, but
yeah,
they go from having the second best tight end to a bad tight end.
And you have him above Christian still.
I have him above Christian. I just feel like they've actually accomplished a whole lot without Christian, but Bosa and Kittle have always been in the mix, and I don't think the Niners have really ever done much without them. I don't know.
Yeah, I have Kittle pretty high, but I have him actually. You're on number six, right? Or are you on number five?
Where I was on five.
Okay, so number five, you have Kittle. Who's your number six?
Maybe McCaffrey there. I don't want to get too crazy. He's really good.
All right. So
he's the offensive player of the year.
For me, number six is Debo. I have Debo over Kittle. I think Debo is extremely important. Both these guys are important. So I'll actually just put it out there. Six is Debo. Seven, I have Kittle.
Okay.
Especially, have you been able to watch Receiver yet? Have you been able to watch that show?
Mm-mm.
So what this, I mean, I think we always knew it, but after watching Receiver, you really see how important Debo is for Kyle. Kyle's game plan is centered around Debo Samuel. Whether he's getting the ball or he's not, he's the distraction. Him and CMC. So that's why I have CMC above him. And then I have Debo Samuel. I think he's very important. Then I have George Kittle. Both those guys, Debo Samuel and George Kittle, they are the energy behind the team. They give this whole team life, right? They are very good leaders. Something I really didn't know. I kind of figure, but Debo Samuel is actually a really important leader for this team. So is George Kittle. So we're not far off. I have them six and seven. You have Kittle at six. Who is your number seven? McCaffrey?
I went Fred Warner 3, Bosa 4, Kittle 5, McCaffrey 6. And then at 7, I mean, Charvarius Ward is so underrated. He was really a shutdown corner last year. If he goes down, they still got Lenore. I just feel like Ayuk has been so good with Purdy. Like, Debo was great for Jimmy, was so essential for Jimmy. But with Ayuk, like, Ayuk doesn't lean on Debo nearly as much. Ayuk needs someone who's, like, can get open 10 to 15 yards downfield consistently. And that's, did I say Ayuk needs that? Purdy needs that. And Ayuk's been that guy. I'm curious to see what not having Ayuk around is going to do to this offense and do to that quarterback in particular, because they have such a good relationship, those two. So I'm going to go Ayuk there.
I had your first choice, Charvarius Ward. So I have Charvarius Ward 8 and Ayuk 9. Charvarius Ward to me is, you know, he's the best corner on this team as of right now. Although I will say D'Amador Lenore is creeping up on him, and I'm interested to see what Demo can do this year. But as of right now, Charvarius Ward gives you that peace of mind that you can put him on.
I want to take CMC down. I feel like Debo and CMC are great, but the fact that they're both on the team makes their individual importance way lower, because they both kind of can do that wide back thing, that slash roll. So I want to put Kittle 5, Ayuk 6, Charvarius Ward 7.
All right.
Sorry, that's how I feel.
That's all right, man. You're allowed to feel the way you want to feel.
That's how I feel. Yeah.
You know, actually, I just noticed my hat's a G. It's for Grant. I wear this. I should wear this hat every Monday.
I love that. I love it.
But yeah, no, you're allowed to feel that, my brother. Charvarius Ward, to me, we have all the same players, just like maybe one or two spots out of order. I am a little surprised by your Christian McCaffrey so low, being that he was the offensive player of the year.
We're talking importance. If we're talking his best, he'd be up there.
Okay.
He's a running back. They have depth. They also have Debo. I'm just thinking depth. I think they could survive. I mean, they literally have gone to multiple NFC championship games without McCaffrey. They have.
It's true.
So
that's true. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I hear it out. Who's your number 9 and number 10?
Okay, I'll go McCaffrey, Debo. Fine, I'll put him top 10.
All right.
They're slightly more important to this team than Jake Brendel. I'll agree.
So you still don't have a Ward in this top 10 mix?
Did I not? I think I did. Hold on. I think I did Warner, Bosa, Kittle, Ayuk, Ward.
Okay.
CMC, Debo.
Okay. So I actually have Ward at 8th.
Okay.
Brandon Ayuk is where I have him at 9th. And my 10th, which I don't know if you're going to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Agree with this one, but I think we saw it last year. Talanoa Hufanga.
I like that.
I have at 10. I think he's extremely important for this team. He's young, but he's a great leader. And his help in not just in the passing game, but specifically in the running game. I think it really hurt the 49ers last year when he went out stopping the run. They were horrible against the run. When Huff was there in the previous season, he was big. Coming up, filling the box, stuffing a run. So I have Huff there at 10.
I got one more thing I want to say about Debo and Ike before we move on. Doesn't Kyle seem like the kind of teacher who's like, hey, man, don't call me Mr. Shanahan. Call me Kyle. Mm-hmm. Stay after class. Let's talk about football. Let's kind of be home. And like, he wants you to be his friend, but like, you have to play that game to get the A. You got to call him Kyle. You got to sit in the front. You got to linger. You got to be his friend. And Ayuk's like the student who's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Sitting in the back of the class. I'm leaving when the thing is over. It's like, oh, now you're going to give me a B because I didn't come in here and call you Kyle and hang out. I just want to take the class. Like, I didn't want to be your friend. But I feel like Debo plays the game. Ayuk doesn't. And Ayuk's getting punished for it.
I think that, I mean, here's the thing about sports at all levels. And you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and in a professional level, politics, unfortunately, plays a part. And Debo does a better job playing that game than Brandon Ayuk. He's there to earn a check, to do his thing on the football field, and clock out. Whereas Debo Samuel, he does a great job of playing the politics. He built that relationship with Kyle. Well, it might be intentional, right? Or it might not be. It might just be that's naturally who Debo is. But it does benefit you to have a good relationship with the coach. You see it at all levels.
I feel like it's kind of the difference between a second-round pick and a first-round pick. A second-round pick, or like Kittle, a fifth-round pick, like it's in your interest to ingratiate yourself with the coach. Hey, we're buddies. Call the play for me. If you're a first round pick, I mean, I think you have a different mentality. Like, they need me. They wanted me. Like, I don't have to ask this guy to throw me the ball. And I think with Ayuk, it was tough because his rookie year, he got a ton of targets because people were hurt. There weren't a lot of options. Debo was out. And then in year two, maybe he felt like, yeah, that's how it's going to keep going. And Kyle's like, well, I didn't want to give you those targets. You didn't earn those targets. So let me give you some tough love.
Yeah, I also think Brandon Ayuk is an introverted cat, right? Like, you have to bring it out. Like, he'll post on social media or he'll go on an interview and talk about it, but you kind of have to pull it out of him a little bit. Whereas Debo, I think, is the opposite. Like, he'll kind of just, he's that kind of personality. I just think they have very different personalities. Brandon Ayuk is just not that dude.
I agree. Okay, it's sleeper time. Let's go Giants. They're playing the Dodgers tonight. Blake Snell pitching. He won his last game. He was looking pretty good. Blake Snell, let's go with him. Earned runs or strikeouts?
Those strikeouts over.
Strikeouts, 5.5 against the Dodgers.
Good team.
A lot of people thinking no.
You're thinking no?
A lot of people thinking no. It doesn't mean we have to think that.
I think yes. I got my Giants hat on.
Okay, there you go. That's as good of a reason as any.
Yes.
Yastrzemski, Soler. Oh, my God. Okay, Soler. Let's do strikeouts. God.
Whew. I'm going over.
I think that's a fair bet.
Mm-hmm.
This guy can't not swing and miss at a slider down and away. Okay, Ramos.
Yeah. Ramos is a tough one.
Hits or strikeouts? I'm feeling like a hater today. Strikeouts.
Over.
He's having a tough time with the fastball up. But 1.5? 1.5?
No, let's go. Let's go under. Let's go under.
Let's go under.
We got to beat the Dodgers.
Yeah. Okay. Chapman, Wade's a good player. Okay. Hits for Wade. Will he get a hit today?
Yes.
Yes.
I agree.
Feel it too. Okay. That's pretty good for the Giants. Let's get just one random player. How about Ellie Dela Cruz, the 22-year-old 6'5" shortstop for the Cincinnati Reds? Will he get a hit? He's got at least 4 in a row.
If you look at the numbers, he's going over there. 6'5" shortstop is kind of crazy.
That's extremely tall. Let's flex it, submit the entry, and let's see if I've won any recently. No. No. We thought Aaron Judge would hit a home run, but he didn't.
Otherwise,
we were pretty close.
Can I recommend something? Looks like you might have won the next one, though. You might have won the next one.
I got this one, of course. Yeah, I'm really good with WNBA. That's my wheelhouse.
Is your wheelhouse.
Look at this one.
What I've noticed for me is when I go three, I try to go safe, right? Look at it like a business. You go three and you take the flex, you're almost guaranteed not to lose money.
There you go.
If
you're a savvy sleeper picker.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just some free game. A little free game. All right, let's talk Brock. Do you think Brock Purdy will take a step forward this year? And if so, how?
I absolutely think he will. I mean, Brock Purdy has every opportunity he's had, he's overcome or overachieved, right? Rookie year, he was the last pick in the NFL draft. People didn't think he was going to make the roster. I did, however. I did think he was going to make the roster, and he did make the roster. Two guys go down. He steps up. A lot of people, the season's over. We got our third-string quarterback. And it was not only not over, but he went on a winning streak, took him all the way to the NFC Championship. And then he hurt himself. UCL injury. Comes back from surgery. He wasn't known for having a strong arm. And then he hurt his elbow. Most people thought, myself included, that that's not a good thing. Didn't even think he would be available for week one. But not only was he available for week one, he's available for training camp. And he comes out and goes on another win streak. Looks better than I could have ever imagined. Now he's had this full offseason. He's in year three in the NFL. He understands the offense completely. He's bigger, stronger. I'll just say faster. Who knows? But he's been working out all offseason. He understands the offense. He's going to have a lot more confidence. He's going to be a leader. I absolutely think Brock Purdy will take a step forward. Whether or not that means he has better stats, I don't know. Or if his record is good, I don't know. But I think he's going to be a better quarterback, which is what matters. I do think he takes a step forward this season. Even if Brandon Ayuk's not there, I still think Brock Purdy, the quarterback, is better player.
I think whatever happens this year will be good for his development. I'm not sure that he'll necessarily take a step forward. Like maybe this year he takes a step back so he can take two steps forward in the future and he learns from adversity or something like that. I'm not saying like he will get worse, but the conditions around him could, because like they made all kind of changes and improvements and refurbishments to the defense, but the offense is still the same thing and it's older now. And Ayuk, like the one guy who's young on the offense, isn't at training camp. So it's older Kittle, older Trent Williams, McCaffrey off an extension, and Ricky Pearsall. So we already saw that defenses are starting to get a slightly better idea of what to do against the Purdy version of the Niners offense. And if he doesn't have Ayuk at like top form, could be a little bit more of a struggle for him. Not because he's not as good, but because the book on the offense is better and the supporting cast may not quite be as dominant as it was last year, even though it's the same people.
I think I've doubted Brock Purdy a couple times and it bit me in the ass. I'm not going
to
do it again.
I'm not trying to doubt Brock. I'm trying to doubt the situation around him.
Right. No, that makes sense. And that's why, I mean, part of, like I said, he could be a better quarterback and have worse
numbers. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right?
And I do think he's going to be a better quarterback regardless of what his numbers show. So I really think he'll take a step forward in that regard. Now, a lot of people, can't decipher between the two. They look at statistics. You know, what do the stats say? That's what he is. And that's never how I've judged quarterbacks. I judge him by watching film, and I think Brock Purdy's going to be well more in charge of this offense. So opportunities, even though defenses might be more prepared for Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy's going to be more prepared in this offense to deal with it, I think. So I can imagine Brock Purdy taking a step forward this coming season, regardless of statistics.
Like in the Super Bowl, his supporting cast let him down. McCaffrey fumbled, Debo couldn't get open, Ayuk was constantly getting in skirmishes and wasn't focused, Juwan Jennings played pretty well, Trent Williams was on his ass. I mean, what if that's the trajectory with this core of players that's getting older and has played a ton of games? Like, that's just going to make Brock look worse. Doesn't mean he is worse, but it'll make Brock look worse than he is, and that'll be interesting. If that's the kind of season he has where his stats take a dip, but it's if you watch the games, it's clearly not his fault, will that affect his money? Will the Niners go to the negotiating table and be like, Brock, we get it. You're a great player, but stuff around you kind of fell apart. Or will they say, you're coming off not the greatest year. I mean, we'll make you a generous offer. Don't get us wrong, but you want to make Trevor Lawrence, you want to make Joe Burrow money? I don't know about that. So I don't know.
Another reason why I think Brock will take a step forward, there's a lot riding on this season for Brock, a lot, right? Going from making under $1 million a year to $55 million a year, which is entirely possible. That might be the bottom for Brock Purdy. For being real, there's a lot riding on it. This is a generational year. This is a contract season for Brock Purdy. He has been healthy. He has a full off season. And really, the 49ers, regardless of what the weapons around him do, or if the defenses are more prepared for Brock, you don't want to sign a quarterback to that kind of money unless he can elevate above those things. So it's almost good if those things fall off around him and he's still able to elevate, then that totally justifies paying the guy. If he doesn't, then that does bring up a concern, but I think he will.
Black Caesar says BA is good, not great. If the Niners pay 30 mil, he would have to be option one. The O is not constructed like that. BA is not 21 Debo level good.
Yeah, I mean, Debo had a phenomenal season. That's why I have, to me, Brandon Ayuk is obviously the best wide receiver on this team, but I think Debo is more important to the team. That's why I had him higher on that list. Debo is extremely important to this team.
Also, I feel like that's why $28 million is the deal that should get the job done. Like, okay, he's not the number one option. Well, Jalen Waddle's a number two option in Miami. He's making $28 million a year, so that seems like no less than that's going to get it done. They can't be serious offering $26 million a year.
Right.
Just can't.
He'll make just over. My prediction, he's going to make just over Jalen Waddle. 28 and a half or so is what they'll ultimately come to a conclusion on.
All right. Camp starts tomorrow. Practice starts Wednesday.
Yeah.
Last year, the MVP of camp was unquestionably Brandon Ayuk. Who do you think it will be this year?
I'm going to just say it, brother. I think it's Brock Purdy, man. I think if Brandon Ayuk was here, it would ultimately seem like he's the best player here. But Brock Purdy now is – Brock Purdy's always been great at leading this team. Now he's entering year three. He's going to be the unquestionable leader of this team vocally. He's going to be running things. He's going to be very comfortable. I think Brock Purdy's going to have a hell of a camp. And I think he's going to easily separate himself from, you know, Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen and – Tanner Mordecai. It's not even going to be close. I think he's going to be running shit out there. Excuse my language. But I think Brock Purdy will walk away from this camp as the MVP.
I want to say Brock, and I think that should be the expectation. But I've just saw him last year, and he was terrible in camp. And I've seen a lot of camps with Kyle, and every year the quarterback sucks in camp. Every year. And I don't know why. It's either because the defense is so good or the defense is ahead of the offense, or maybe someone on the defense like Fred Warner is like finding the offense's play script and telling people. I wouldn't accuse him of that, but I wouldn't put it past him. I don't know. Yeah. But they intercept that quarterback so much. It is linebackers. And it seems like they know where he's going with the ball in ways that no other defense does. So I'm going to be careful here. I'm going to stay away from Brock just because something's weird. I don't know what it is, but I think Fred Warner's cheating. Did I say that out loud? I take it back. Fred, I take it back. Don't sue me. I don't know. Really? Something's going on there, though. That is a very well-prepared defense.
Yeah. So you're going defense?
Can't go Ayuk. He won't be there. No. I'd like to say Nick Bosa, but how much will he even practice? Mm-mm. Should be Nick Bosa. How about that?
It won't be.
How much can you really show it?
It
should be Nick Bosa. I mean, he should be blowing up this freak. I mean, Trent Williams is going to practice. It should be Nick Bosa. I think Nick Bosa needs a little bit more scrutiny.
If it's the defense, I say it's Fred. If it's the defense,
yeah,
he's got the script in his back pocket. But I also think something is important too. In practice, you want to push yourself and see what you're able to do, and maybe that's what has something to do with why these quarterbacks don't look as sharp as they normally do in games. They're going against a great defense. They're cheating, according to sources on this stream. And then maybe they're pushing themselves, trying to go above and beyond, do things in practice that they wouldn't do in a game to see what they're, you know, how they can improve and what they're capable of.
Let me take it back. Bosa was a ridiculous answer. It's the wrong answer. Let me think this through. The person that's usually the MVP of camp usually has something to prove. Usually it's financial, right? Like, why are you practicing this hard? It's August.
Yeah.
What do you want? You know what I mean? Like, Bosa doesn't need anything, want anything. He got his money. He'll show out some days. He'll prove that he's the guy, but he's not going to do it every single rep of every day the way someone else might. Who's that guy? It was Ayuk last year. Could be Debo this year. Is Debo not acting like he's in a contract year? He kind of is to me.
Absolutely.
So he was actually practicing in OTAs and minicamp. He's like 29. I mean, wow. So could be Debo.
You got a lot of those guys. And I keep saying that that's the missing, like that's the definition leaves my mind right now. But that's the missing piece right here for the 49ers. Yeah. They have a lot of contract players this year. Debo, D'Amador Lenore, Tarvarius Ward, Talanoa Hufanga, and my guy who I think is going to win the MVP, Brock Purdy, who's also the quarterback of this team. That's why I'm going with Brock, but it wouldn't surprise me if any of these guys show out. I expect them to.
You know, it'd be funny if Ayuk gets his extension in a week or two, $28 million a year, and then he got first practice one-on-one against Tarvarius Ward. Tarvarius just whoops his ass and says, okay, I'm 29. I'll take $29 million a year. How about that? Yeah.
I unfortunately think this is the last year for Charvarius Ward on this team. I think he's going to price himself out. The 49ers will be lucky if they can sign Deebo, D'Amato Lenore, and they can't do both. And if I'm the 49ers, as great as Charvarius is, I'm not signing to him to a big contract at his age. I'd rather go with the younger guy that I can get for cheaper and try to find Charvarius somewhere else. But I think this is the last season for Charvarius with the Niners.
Yeah, there's also D'Amato Lenore. We mentioned him. He's in a contract year. But I wouldn't expect it to be CMC. He's played a lot. He's older. He got extended. I don't think he's going to practice every day. Trent Williams isn't going to practice. Maybe Colt McKivitz is the MVP of training camp. You never can count him out.
Colton. Yeah.
All right, last question I got for you.
All right.
Do you think there will be a player on the 49ers who makes an all-pro team for the first time this upcoming season? If so, who do you think it'll be?
I'm going to go with my guy, D'Amador Lenore. He's playing for every year. He keeps ascending. And I think it's possible that Deebo earns that bag with the 49ers and earns an all-pro season with the 49ers. That's who I'm going to go with. It's a little risky, but I like D'Amador Lenore. I like him a lot, and I think he has the potential to be that kind of player. So that's who I'm going with.
I like it. I'm going with Charvarius Ward. Last year, he was a pro bowler, but not an all-pro. And I don't know if you heard it, but like Kyle made a comment about how like the pro bowl doesn't matter and the all-pro is the one that counts. It's like, thanks a lot. Thank you very much for minimizing Charvarius Ward's award. Anyway, I think now with Wilkes going, I think Wilkes was good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Wilkes may not have been the best defensive coordinator, but I think he was one hell of a DB coach. I think Charvarius Ward improved a lot. And now I think you're going to see Brandon Staley use him in new ways. When Staley was the DC with the Rams, he used Jalen Ramsey in all kind of different ways. And Ramsey got a really large profile from it, was all pro. I think Charvarius Ward can do that. Those things. I think we're going to see him maybe in the slot a little bit more, blitzing a little bit more, just an all-around playmaker. And I think he'll get more recognition because I think he played that at that level last year. This year, he could do it again.
He was very close.
He led the league in pass breakups and had 5 picks. What more do you want?
In my head, I thought he was an all pro. I wasn't thinking about it. He was a pro bowler. Yep. So I probably would have picked him had I realized that coming into it. So I can definitely see that happen. If he does become an all pro, good luck to the 49ers re-signing that guy. He's going to be very expensive. And, you know, shiz is about to hit the fan with the 49ers payroll. They got a lot of guys that are free agents after this season. They're not going to be able to afford everybody, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to afford Charvarius Ward after the season, but he is in a contract year, just like Deebo, just like Huff, Brock Purdy, Aaron Banks, all these guys, Greenlaw as well. They're not going to be able to pay everybody, and if Charvarius Ward is an all-pro, they're definitely not going to be able to afford him.
I got a bonus question for you.
Yep.
Last couple of years, the feature presentation at training camp was Trey Lance. Which probably is why they traded him. He was overshadowing everything. But when it was like, well, what are you excited to watch in training camp? It was like, Trey Lance, has he improved? Is there a plan for him? What's he look? All that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's over with. And now, like, what to focus on in camp is a little less clear. Brock's kind of proven he could throw a pick every day like he did last year, and it may or may not matter. What are you most focused on this year in camp?
Well, here's the thing, brother. Like, I don't even know. I'm busy with work and traveling. I'm not even sure if I'm going this year. And part of the reason is it's not quite as interesting to me, if I'm being 100% honest here. Most of the things that you're going to be seeing in training camp is for backup roles, is for depth. Now, there's not a lot on the line for who's going to start at any position. Like, is there a position about who's going to start? No, it's about who's going to be the sixth wide receiver. Who's going to be the third and fourth running back? And that stuff's all great. It's all interesting, but it's not quite at the level of a top-notch quarterback controversy like it was last year. So to answer your question, what am I focusing on? If I do go, and I may go for a day or two, still not sure. But there's not a lot there, brother. It's the backup stuff. For me, like, how do the young guys look? How does Ricky Pearsall look? That's really the thing I think a lot of people are going to be focusing on. how's Ricky Pearsall going to look? Does he look like he justifies the first round draft pick? And then there's the tight end position. Like, are Braden Willis and Cam Latu going to actually develop into the players they were drafted to be? But it's mostly about depth at this point for the 49ers. I think the only real main one that you got to watch is that Ricky Pearsall one, particularly because Brandon Ayuk's not going to be there. So the question is, can Ricky Pearsall make up for the absence of Brandon Ayuk? I think a lot of people are going to be looking for that.
I like that too. I mean, Ricky Pearsall is going to be a big ticket. Like, people are going to talk about him every day. But I think for me, what makes it's the Passover question. You don't know this because you're not Jewish, but when you have Passover, you ask the four questions. And the first question is, what makes this night different from all other nights? And how did I get to Passover?
Not sure.
I don't know what I was talking about.
Yeah. You were.
What are we talking about again? I got stuck on Passover.
Four questions. Yeah. Ricky Pearsall and the four
questions.
Oh,
yeah. What makes this off season different from all other off seasons?
There we go.
Okay. Sorry. It was going to make sense. It was going to be good. What makes this off season different from all other off seasons? They just lost the Super Bowl again. And it's like, there's a thing called a Super Bowl hangover, and they all kind of seem like they're not as driven or motivated or whatever. They all seem kind of like, I don't know what the word is, but is it going to manifest itself? Are we seeing a down season, or are the Niners going to put that behind them and have another year that comes down to the wire? Because like, look at the Eagles last year. Yeah. I feel like the Niners are kind of similar to the Eagles last year. Like, the Eagles, they lost a coordinator. There's a couple coordinators, but there was a questionable situation on defense. They never really figured out who their defensive coordinator was. They were old. They collapsed down the stretch. Yeah. I mean, is that going to happen with the Niners? Like, they have like this weird situation, a defensive coordinator. They're an older team. They got money drama. Like, yeah. Is this all going to come to a head in November, December and fall apart? I guess that's what I don't know if you can detect that in training camp, but I'm interested.
So the one thing that surprised me, I went to training camp last year. One thing that surprised me about Kyle Shanahan's practices is how lackadaisical they are. It was actually shocking to me. I expected a lot more intensity in these practices, but maybe that's all throughout the NFL. I remember watching them, the Niners, when I was younger, and it was a lot more intense. Maybe that's a sign of the times type of thing, but I was really surprised by how lackadaisical Kyle Shanahan's practices were and how really uninvolved Kyle was throughout. Like, he didn't really one-on-one conversation with anybody or coach anybody up, and maybe that's not his job. But what my point is, I don't think that's going to present itself in training camp. We'll find out throughout the season, but I think the one thing that's going to hopefully overcome what you're talking about is the fact that there are 43, I believe, 49ers who are not in contract past this season. You got a lot of money, a lot of people playing for money this coming season. And, you know, we've seen throughout the history of all sports, when guys are playing for money, they give it everything they got. And that might be the difference. That might be the thing that helps them overcome what you're talking about with the Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah, like there are some like buzzwords I'll use that you might think are kind of corny, but I think this is stuff that people watching practice won't necessarily pick up on. They'll be focused on targets and whatever, but morale.
Yeah,
like and you might hear that more in press conferences, but last year they just seemed so confident and sure of themselves. Like, we are the best team. We lost to the Eagles for one reason. We're here to show you what we're all about. This year, like, do you have that? Are you guys unified, or is this a fractured team that's low on morale and is thinking, you know what, it was so hard to get to the top of the mountain. The odds are against us, and we know it. And frankly, I'm looking at our head coach over here a little different these days, because it's his fault we lost the Super Bowl. I can't say it out loud around here, but it wasn't my fault.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. It's a tiring, hard sport, man. It just requires so much effort, energy, and focus for such a long period of time. The Niners consistently are in the postseason. They've been giving it their all, and they've always fallen short. I know that there are certain guys, especially these veterans, who are like, come on, man. We keep getting there. We can't finish. I think it might play a part, but I also feel like people their number one priority in sports for themselves is for themselves, getting that money, getting the generational money, and that is going to be the difference maker, I think, for this season. I think that's going to work in their favor.
People talk about like morale being, you know, like momentum, does it even exist? But like, let's say the Niners were to get Ayuk back this week. News comes out, they've agreed $28 million a year. He's back for the beginning of training camp. Wouldn't that be a huge morale boost to the team? Huge.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's something to monitor. Like, are they going to get a morale boost? Or if he's gone, is that indicative of like, low morale on the team? I think that all that matters, because in addition to being the best roster, they've also been like the most confident team until now. We'll see.
Yeah. Something to watch. I don't know if you'll see it develop in training camp necessarily as much as, like you said, in the press conferences. But once the games start, and if they have any kind of struggle, that's when you'll really see it appear.
Yeah. And number two, for me, Cam Latu.
That's the most.
Can you catch the ball, Cameron? That's what I want to know.
I mean, Cam looked good last year in training camp. Really freaking good at everything. Like, the way he looked like a monster out there. He was getting open. He was, he was blocking really well, but couldn't catch.
Yeah, that was the thing. So he's got to do that one thing with his hands.
Catch the ball.
At the right time.
Yeah.
But also Ricky Pearsall, like, first round pick.
That's the main story.
Controversial. Already hurt. Ricky Pearsall's big. Absolutely. And independent of Brandon Ayuk, doesn't even matter what happens. You took Ricky Pearsall in round one. He better be good.
He's the healthy. He is what everyone, if I was going to camp, and I might still go to one or two, I'm not sure. But if I was, those are the main thing I'd be looking for. Like, what does this dude look like? Does he really justify the pick? Can he make up for the loss of Brandon Ayuk early in the season? That's what I would be.
Yeah, I'm focused on Pearsall, because to me, my suspicion is that people covering the team who tend to lean towards positive coverage for whatever reason might have a tough time telling the truth about Ricky Pearsall if he's not tearing it up. So is he really good? Is he really tearing it up, or is he getting favorable coverage because people know the Niners want favorable coverage for their first round picks, particularly the ones that are a little controversial?
Is he even healthy enough to play? Like, that's the other thing. We don't even know if he's, I don't know. Apparently the injury was minor, but will he be full contact when they do finally go full contact?
I feel like if it was real minor, he wouldn't be on NFI and we would know what it is. Or he either wouldn't be on the list, or he would be on it and we would know what it is. Like, you know, he has a hangnail, don't worry. But he's on a list because of an injury? Sounds like weeks, not days.
Well, then that's the more reason to get Brandon Ayuk in here. What are we doing?
What are we doing? Well, it's 12:04 on the West Coast. It's Ryan G. Hensley. I'm Grant L. Cohn. It's about to go down, Ryan.
It's about to go down. I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm going to rely mostly on you guys this season. I got a lot of work going on, a lot of travel plans. So I'm going to be relying on you, Grant, for your updates every single day.
Well, look, I mean, we got an undrafted rookie free agent quarterback, Tanner Mordecai. There will be interesting storylines. And to me, this is going to be one of the, if not the most interesting seasons of the Kyle Shanahan era. You're coming off your second Super Bowl loss. Not a lot of head coaches are in this position. You got a team that everyone says is the best at everything. Yeah. How do you handle this moment right now? You got to give Purdy the extension next year. It seems like the last dance a little bit of this particular group.
That's going to happen. That's why, to me, this season's great because of all the things you mentioned. Next season is going to be a very different 49ers team. I'm really looking like I'm going to enjoy this season, obviously, but next offseason is going to be extremely interesting.
Yeah. As the Niners turn here on YouTube, I'll see you guys later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.